Would you all stand at this time while I offer a prayer? Almighty Yahweh. Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, again we come before you and your throne of grace, thanking and praising your name on this, your high holy Sabbath day. Father, we know that we have but a short time before Yahshua returns. And we ask, Father, that you would truly touch our hearts, touch the hearts of each and every one of your servants, Father. We ask that you would build us up, that you would build us, Father, into that spiritual temple that you are preparing for these last days, so that when Yahshua returns, he will be there with his people, and that we would truly have overcome this world and be rejoicing, Father, because of the love that you've shown us through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Father, we know that we are yet sinners. We're truly still flesh, but we ask, Father, that you would convert us to spiritual being. Your spiritual blocks, your temple blocks, that we would truly be a kingdom of priests and kings before you, servants of yours, Father, that you've called out of this sinful world, that have overcome this world and Satan the devil through your spirit and through the blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. So again, Father, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to receive the implanted word, and that your word would have free course in us, and that you would cause us, Father, rejoice before you and give glory to your holy name. We thank you, Father, in the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we pray. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. I've entitled this message, The Glory of Zion, Yahweh. We're going to start in Psalm 48. Psalm 48. It says, great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our Elohim, in his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Elohim has made himself known in her, palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings assembled themselves. They passed by together. They saw it, and then were they amazed. They were dismayed. They hurried away. Trembling took hold of them there, pain as a woman in travail. With the east wind you break the ships of Tarshish, as we have heard. So have we seen in the city of Yahweh of hosts, in the city of our Elohim. Elohim will be established forever. Right now in Jerusalem, Yahweh is not established, even though that's the city of our Elohim. You can go over there in Jerusalem right now and see all kinds of pagan temples, all kinds of pagan worship. But we know what Zion is. Zion is the city of our Elohim. Almighty Yahweh is the mighty one of Israel. Too often people, when they think of Israel, okay, they think of the physical people in the Holy Land. Okay? Now, Israel are those who overcome, those who rule without. That's who Israel is. Almighty Yahweh has told us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We see that in the scriptures. And we do this on a daily basis when we pray. But it says in Psalm 48, verse 8, as we have heard, so have we seen in the city of Yahweh of hosts, in the city of our Elohim, which is Zion. Yerushalayim is the name of it, okay? Jerusalem means the city of peace. And this is the city of Yahweh. It says, after Selah, we have thought on your loving kindness, O Elohim, in the middle of your temple. As is your name, O Elohim, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Is the temple of Yahweh in existence? There is no temple in Jerusalem right now. The temple of Yahweh are his people. We each that have Yahweh's Holy Spirit are a building block of that temple. As is your name, O Elohim, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice. That term, Judah, is Yehuda. It means one who worships Yahweh. The Jews in Israel today do not worship Yahweh. They worship Adonai. They worship a foreign deity, Hashem, the name. They don't worship Yahweh. That's why it's important for us to understand that it's Israel that he's talking about, spiritual Israel, those who have overcome this world and Satan the devil. Remember the scribes and the Pharisees and their attitude towards that sinner that they saw over there that wouldn't lift up his eyes when he was praying. And the reason he wouldn't lift up his eyes because he didn't feel he was worthy. But Yahshua said, who went down justified? That sinner, because he showed he was humble. Whereas though the Pharisee was haughty. He was built up. He was so taken with his righteousness because he's tithing of everything that he receives. He fasts several days a week. See, he was proclaiming his righteousness. See, it's for Yahweh to proclaim our righteousness. All we have to do is keep the covenant because our righteousness is as filthy rags, brethren. Not one of us can do anything to merit the kingdom. It's up to Yahweh to allow us to get there. And the way we get there is through his son, Yahshua the Messiah. But that's why we have to understand who Israel truly is. Okay? It says in verse 10, as is your name, O Elohim. The name of Yahweh is important. Very few people understand how important Yahweh's name is. It means I am eternal. He's the only one that can give eternal life. Okay? That's why it's very important for us to understand this. Verse 11, let Mount Zion be glad. And let the daughters of Judah rejoice. Because of your judgments, walk about Zion and go all around her. Number the towers of it. Mark you well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this Elohim is our Elohim forever and ever. He will be our guide even until death. He will be our guide even unto death. That's important for us to understand, brethren. See? We have to keep this all the way to death or to when Yahshua returns. If we're still alive at that time to meet him in the air, then we're there. But Israel and those who are left of the 144,000 will do just that. They will rise to meet him in the air. But those that have died first will be resurrected. And those that are alive will be caught up to meet him in the air as well. Psalm 24. Psalm of David. The earth is Yahweh's and the fullness of it, the world and they that dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the flood. Who shall ascend into the hill of Yahweh? And who shall stand in his holy place? This is sort of like Psalm 15, which we read last night in the Bible study. And we were speaking about abiding in Yahshua last night. Who's going to abide or be found? It says, he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from Yahweh and righteousness from the Elohim of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek after him, that seek your face, even Jacob. The term Jacob, we know Jacob was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. His name was changed to Israel. See? So when you see Jacob, you can say Israel. Selah. He's talking about a spiritual people. It says, this is the generation of them that seek after him, that seek your faith, even Israel, Yaakov, Jacob, Selah. The physical Israelites did not seek Yahweh's faith. You think about it. He called them, and they rebelled. They went in another direction. They went after the mighty ones of the nations around them. Verse 7, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be you lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is the King of glory? Yahweh, strong and mighty. Yahweh, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, even lift them up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? Yahweh of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. There's a separation between the worship of Yahweh and the worship of the nation. The nations worship nature. They worship the hills, the valleys, the trees, the sun, the moon. They worship all kinds of idols. You think about it, they worship it. I'm sure there's a group out there that worship grasshoppers. Okay? I said that for a reason. Psalm 87. Psalm 87. His foundation is in the holy mountain. Yahweh loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of Elohim, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon as among them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there. Yes, of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one was born in her. And the Most High himself will establish her. Yahweh is going to establish his people. Yahweh will count whether he writes up the peoples. This one was born there, Selah. They shall sing as well as they that dance shall say, all my fountains are in you. And truly, when we think about Israel, we're talking about the physical place. All right? It's special to Almighty Yahweh. You think about it. In the Iraq war with Saddam Hussein, and he was firing those Scud missiles over to Israel, not one of them found its mark. Not one of them killed anybody in Israel. All of those missiles that were fired in Israel, not one of them succeeded. Only one man died in that whole attack, and he died from a heart attack. It wasn't from the missile. See? Yahweh protects his people. Okay? So we have to be faithful in doing and keeping his covenant law, his commandments. That's what sets us apart from the rest of the people of the world. People give lip service to it. Oh, I keep the commandments. But when you talk to them and tell them about the Ten Commandments, oh, what about the fourth? Keep the Sabbath. Oh, we keep Sunday. Okay? They don't keep the feast days. Even the Seventh-day Adventists don't keep the feast days. But they keep the Sabbath. They don't use the name of Yahweh either. You know, they have an excuse for every little thing that they don't want to do. See? But we have to keep all of the covenant, which sets us apart from the rest of the world and those people out there who say they worship Yahweh. They're given lip service. Proverbs 17, verse 6. This message is entitled, The Glory of Zion, Yahweh. Proverbs 17, 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, their grandchildren. And the glory of children are their fathers. Okay? We are the children of Yahweh. He's our father. He's the glory of his people. But, you know, as a grandfather myself, yes, my grandchildren are glory to me. Yes, they are. And Yahweh has blessed us with many of them. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. That's why the fathers have to do the right things by our children. You know, a lot of times we think about the mistakes we make as parents, and you wonder how it's going to come back on you. Proverbs 23, verse 22, it says, listen to your father that procreated you. Listen to your father that procreated you, and despise not your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. And he that fathers a wise child will have joy in him. What do you think Yahweh is feeling about his people? When we are faithful in doing the covenant, when we are faithful in doing the things that he's commanded us to do. Let your father and your mother be glad. And let her that bore you rejoice. We do rejoice when our children get it right. Turn to Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. As when fire kindles the brushwood and the fire causes the waters to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. We want the people of this world to understand who Yahweh is, that they would tremble at his presence, that they would understand that he's different from all the mighty ones of the peoples of the land throughout the world. Yahweh is the only living mighty one. He's the real one, the real McCoy, as they would say. When you did terrible things which we look not for, You came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. For from of old men have not heard, nor perceived by ear, neither has the eye seen an Elohim besides you, who works for him that waits for him. You meet him that rejoices and works righteousness. Those that remember you in your ways, behold, you were angry, and we sinned. In them have we been of long time, and shall we be saved? And yes, he saved us from our sins through Yahshua the Messiah, and sending us a Savior. He saved us from our sins. But you know what? A lot of people don't take it seriously. They don't take the shed blood of Yahshua very serious. They go on and sin and sin and sin because they're not taking it seriously. Now, when we get baptized, we take on a whole different persona. We take on Yahshua the Messiah. We have his Holy Spirit within us. It changes us. So therefore, we don't have a desire to sin anymore. Doesn't mean that people don't sin after they've been baptized and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? If you do, there's a separation. That's why David wrote Psalm 51. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. See? He didn't want to lose that Holy Spirit that Yahweh has given, that had given him. But the Holy Spirit cannot dwell with sin or sinners. That's why there has to be a separation and a difference. When we accept Yahshua the Messiah, we don't have to worry about that. He becomes a part of us. The glory of Zion, Yahweh, is there with us through the Holy Spirit. See? Verse 6, it says, for we have all become as one that is unclean, and all our righteousness are as polluted garments, filthy rags, and we all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, takes us away. And there is no one that calls upon your name that stirs up himself to take hold of you, for you have hid your face from us and have consumed us by means of our iniquities. Our sins are what separate us from Yahweh. See? But it becomes even a little bit deeper than that. It's our self-righteousness. Those that think that they are beyond or above. See? Because everybody, like I said, that sinner that beat his chest that Yahshua was speaking of in the evangel, who was justified because he says, I, a sinner. He repented. And he was sincere. Whereas that Pharisee, no. He was too busy building himself up. He was too busy lifting himself up. This is why we have to realize that we have to humble ourselves before Almighty Yahweh. We have to stop and cease from sin. You know what sin is, brethren? Sin is the transgression of the law. And you can look at the law and see what it's talking about. See? Violation of the Sabbath, the feast days, all the other offerings that we're supposed to offer. But you know what? The biggest sin is not loving our brother. See? Because we see our brother, and then we're going to say something negative about him or tear him down and yet show up before Yahweh and want to offer our gift. We did have our offering already for those of you that were late, which we can take care of before. I get little Rashad to get up here and preach. Send me your money. Right, Rashad? Yeah, see, you like that. No. What we need to see, brethren, is it says in verse 7, second part, for you have hid your face from us and have consumed us by means of our iniquity, our sin. And that's what we need to stop. We need to change. And you know what? When we have a love for Almighty Yahweh, sin is not a part of it. You don't want to do it. You want to do what's right. You want to do what's pleasing to Him, just like you do what I said, the glory of the children is their father. See? They want to do, the children want to please their father, so they'll try to do what's right for their father. Each one of us, look how your children treat you. Think about it. How they look up to you if you're a father or mother or aunt. They love their parents. They love their grandparents. That's why it says the children's children are a glory to us. But you know what? Yahweh is the glory. He is the glory of Zion. He's our glory if we do what's right. But now, in verse 8, O Yahweh, you are our Father. Yahweh is our Father. We are the clay and you the potter. And we all are the work of your hand. Be not angry very much, O Yahweh, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, look, we plead you. We are all your people. And what did he do? He sent his son to die for our sins. And when he died for our sins, he cleansed them. He did wipe them away. But you know what? If you accept that shed blood of Yahshua the Messiah, you can have salvation. You can be raised at that last day. But if you don't accept it, guess what? It's the wrath of Elohim is upon you. It's still there because you chose not the Son of Yahweh. Be not very angry. Be not angry very much, O Yahweh. Neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, look, we plead you. We are all your people. Your holy cities have become a wilderness. Zion has become a wilderness. Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house where our fathers praise you is burnt with fire, and all our pleasant places are laid waste. Will you refrain yourself for these things, O Yahweh? Will you hold your peace and afflict us beyond measure? You know what the answer is to that question? No, he didn't. He sent us a Savior. But prior to sending us a Savior, this passage that we're reading, we just read, turn to 2 Chronicles. Chapter 29. Second Chronicles 29. And Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh according to all that David his father had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, this is Abib, he opened the doors of the house of Yahweh and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the broad place on the east and said to them, hear me, you Levites, now sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of Yahweh, the Elohim of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of Yahweh and turned their backs and have shut the doors of the porch and put out the lamps. And they have not burnt incense and have not offered burnt offerings in the sanctuary to Elohim, to the Elohim of Israel. Therefore, the wrath of Yahweh was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has delivered them to be tossed to and fro, to be in astonishment and a hissing, as you see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, that this fierce anger may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for Yahweh has chosen you to stand before him, to minister to him, that you should be his ministers and burn incense. Drop down to verse 15. It talks about the Levites. They arose just like they did in the days of Moses and stood for the challenge to do the work of Yahweh. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and went in according to the commandment of the king by the words of Yahweh to cleanse the house of Yahweh. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of Yahweh to clean, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of Yahweh to the court of the house of Yahweh. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad to the brook Kidron. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the porch of Yahweh, and they sanctified the house of Yahweh in 8 days. And on the 16th day of the first month they made an end. In other words, they missed it. They didn't get it done in time to keep the Passover. But they went. Hezekiah started his reign in that first month in Abib. The Passover was due on the 14th day of that month, and they didn't get it done. Go over to chapter 30 of 2 Chronicles 30. Verse 1, and Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of Yahweh at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the assembly in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves in sufficient number, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem, where is the place that Yahweh chose for them to come. Three times in a year, he says, the people are to come and keep a feast to me. And the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, and in gathering, tabernacle. Those three times in a year, we're supposed to come together to worship Yahweh. But because the people had not assembled themselves to Jerusalem, and it took time, so he sent letters by the postman, it said by the post, out to all the people in Israel. Get yourselves together. Get to Jerusalem. We're going to keep the Passover in the second month, on the 14th day. I read we did a Bible study earlier, in the week on the second Passover. And the difference, the second Passover is only one day. You don't keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You don't keep the whole 7 days. You just keep the one day. Okay? You don't even have to get leaven out of your house. You have to be unleavened, those who are keeping the second Passover, but it's only that one day. You don't have to keep a whole 7 days like we do now, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and this is the last high day of that feast. And it's significant that Yahweh has given us a double Sabbath. See, that's another blessing that he just throws into the mix for us. You think about it. You know, when you've worked your life, and, you know, it's like another day off, but it's a blessing to have that second Sabbath. You know, not a burden, a blessing. In verse 4, it says, and the thing was right in the eyes of the king and of all the assembly. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover to Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, at Jerusalem, for they had not kept it in great numbers in such sorts as it is written. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, according to the commandment of the king, saying, "Your children of Israel, you children of Israel, turn again to Shuva, to Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that he may return to the remnant that have escaped from you out of the hand of the king of Assyria, kings of Assyria. And do not be like your fathers and like your brethren who trespassed against Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers, so that he gave them up to desolation as you see." Now, do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to Yahweh and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve Yahweh, your Elohim. How do we do that today, brethren? How do we do that today? You know, we're not going to Jerusalem. There's no temple there. How do we do that today? You know how we do it? We keep the feast. We keep it with the zeal that Yahweh has given us, with his Holy Spirit. We rejoice at the gathering of Yahweh. We still do what he commands us. But we have to be faithful to keeping all of those covenant laws. And that joy that we show is shared with all the people. They see it, and they want to be a part of it. Why is it that you serve your mighty one in such a way? They're going to look for you to fall. They're going to look for you to sin so that they can point out what you're doing wrong. Oh, you're not keeping the right day. You're not keeping the Sabbath. I saw you in the store, and it was after 5 o'clock on Friday. But, you know, it's summertime. Sundown don't happen to 8, but they're used to you not being there, so they shop at Walmart Friday after work, and they see you in there. I thought you had to be home by 6. And so, well, you know, it's sundown to sundown. That's what the scriptures teach. I know a lot of the Seventh-day Adventists do 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock year-round or whatever. You know, it's kind of like I estimate the Sabbath. But it's from sundown to sundown. And I'm telling you, these people are sharp. They know what you are not supposed to be doing. And they'll let you know that. See? But that's why we have to be faithful in keeping all of the covenant law of Almighty Yahweh. It says, again, verse 8, "Now, do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to Yahweh and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve Yahweh your Elohim, that his fierce anger may turn away from you. For if you turn again, if you teshuvah to Yahweh, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that led them captive." They're going to find that love and shall come again into this land. For Yahweh, your Elohim, is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him. And that's what we have to do, brethren. We have to stop the sin. We have to take part in that covenant. So the posts passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even to Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn, and they mocked them. They made fun of them. What do you mean, keep the feast, Passover? And these are Israel. They had entered the covenant before, but they laughed them to scorn. And this is the king sending his servants out to deliver this message. And they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. "Nevertheless, certain men of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also upon Judah came the hand of Elohim to give them one heart, to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of Yahweh." And the word of Yahweh is powerful, brethren, whether you know it or not. Think about it. It's very powerful. If Yahweh wants you to do something, you're going to do it. You might resist it for a while, but guess what? You'll come around. That's what Jonah did. He resisted when Yahweh sent him to Assyria. But guess what? Jonah came around, didn't he? He had to spend 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a great fish But he came around. See, Yahweh got his attention, and he'll get each and every one of our attention. If he wants you, trust me, he got you. It's better, you better yield now instead of go through the pain of having to be turned around. You don't want to be swallowed by a great fish, do you? You want to be swallowed by a great fish? But those that mocked brought judgment upon themselves. See? In verse 13, and there assembled at Jerusalem many people to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the second month, a very great assembly. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense they took away and cast them into the brook Kidron. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought burnt offerings into the house of Yahweh. And they stood in their place after their order according to the law of Moses, the man of Elohim. The priests sprinkled the blood which they received of the hand of the Levites. For there were many in the assembly that had not sanctified themselves. Therefore the Levites had the charge of killing the Passovers for everyone that was not clean to sanctify them to Yahweh. For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves. Yet they ate the Passover contrary to what is written. For Hezekiah had prayed for them, saying, may the good Yahweh pardon everyone that sets his heart to seek Elohim, Yahweh, the Elohim of his fathers, though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And Yahweh listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Also in the second Passover, regardless of whether you're clean, unclean, whatever, you have to take it. See, it's required. And I said that earlier. I know a lot of women in their menstrual cycles still would be unclean the second Passover as they would be the first. Yet they're still commanded to take that Passover. They have to offer their oblation to Yahweh. That's important. See? That's why we have that second chance. That's why Teshuva has been offered. Yahweh has given us an opportunity to return to him. See? In verse 21, and the children of Israel were present at Jerusalem, kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised Yahweh day by day, singing with loud instruments to Yahweh. And Hezekiah spoke comfortably to all the Levites that had good understanding in the service of Yahweh. So they ate throughout the feast for the 7 days, offering sacrifices and peace offerings and making confession to Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep another 7 days. They were so inspired with that Feast of Unleavened Bread that they wanted to keep another seven. And they kept another 7 days with gladness. They were very, very thankful. They were happy. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, gave the assembly for offering 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep. And the princes gave to the assembly 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep. And a great number of priests sanctified themselves. And all the assembly of Judah, with the priests and the Levites, and all the assembly that came out of Israel, and the sojourners that came out of the land of Israel, that dwelt in Judah, rejoice. They rejoice. How about you today? Are we rejoicing before Yahweh because we're here keeping his feast of unleavened bread? I tell you, I am. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not anything like this in Jerusalem. Then the priests and the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy habitation, even to heaven. Yahweh was pleased with them for what they had done. See? Because they put their love right there. And they showed Yahweh that they were concerned about him. They loved him enough. The glory of Zion brethren is Yahweh. Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 1, it says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The set feast of Yahweh." Yahweh has set feasts, Moedim, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation. Even these are my set feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no manner of work. It is a Sabbath to Yahweh in all your dwelling. That's the fourth commandment, to keep the Sabbath, keep it holy. Verse 4, these are the set feasts of Yahweh, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their appointed seasons, the Moedim. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, is Yahweh's Passover. Whose Passover? It's Yahweh. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Yahweh. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. And the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh 7 days, and the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. That's today. We're doing the same thing. We're worshiping Yahweh, which is the purpose, the reason that we came together. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. It says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and ordinances, even as Yahweh my Elohim commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go in to possess it. Therefore keep and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, that shall hear all these statutes and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has an Elohim so close to them as Yahweh? Our Elohim is whenever we call upon him. And what great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances so righteous as all this law, which I set before you today?" Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Righteousness. How does the world know righteousness? If they don't know the commandments, how would they know righteousness? Righteousness is the keeping of the commandments. It exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. So people know what sin is. They know what it is to sin. And it's not drinking and smoking and dancing. Okay? You can corrupt your temple by smoking. Okay? You can dance. David danced before Yahweh. The Bible doesn't tell you you can't drink. You can drink. You're not supposed to get drunk. You're not supposed to lose control. You know, that's the difference. Maintaining self-control, that's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you can do it. You can maintain it. But you know what? Too often, people are so wrapped up with the things that they think that they're doing in honor of Yahweh. Okay? You think about it. And one of the things that I dealt with this week in the Bible study was how words impact, you know, the things that we do. We interpret things. Words interpret things. But these words, the words that came from Yahweh, are holy. And he's the one that taught us speech. He taught Adam and Eve speech. He taught them how to communicate. Eden had nothing but holy communication until Satan came on the scene. Satan came on the father of lies and started to flip the script. He turned things around because, you know what, he took the same set of facts. Didn't Yahweh tell you you can eat from any tree of the garden? Except, you know, which tree? And then, of course, Eve say, that tree in the middle of the garden, we're not even supposed to touch, much less eat it. He says, you know, like, what's going to happen? You know, she said, if we eat it, we'll die. And what did he say? Dying, you shall not die. If you eat of it, you know, your eyes are going to be open. You're going to be able to, you know things that he don't want you to know. You know, you're going to know good and evil. And that's not what Yahweh wanted. He told them not to touch it. He didn't want them to experience that bad part of life. He didn't want them to know evil. They didn't need to. They had a tree of life right there in the garden. They could have eaten of that and had lived forever. But they chose to disobey. And that's how children are. We disobey our parents thinking it's okay. Yahweh is the glory of Zion. He is the glory of his people. He tells us to do certain things. He gives us those commandments. We need to do them because we love him. He loves us enough to give us his son, that his son gave his life, that we have that relationship. We are brought into that relationship with him through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. Turn to 2 Peter, or 1 Peter chapter 2. Not 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1. Starting in verse 1, it says, therefore, putting away all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. See, we would have never known evil speaking had not Satan came on the scene and started it. But now we know it. It says, put away all evil speaking as newborn babes, as Adam and Eve were like newborn babes, even though they were adults. They didn't have experience. They didn't know what was going on. But Yahweh was teaching them. He was training them. There's a trust relationship between a father and his child, between a husband and wife, between siblings. Okay? And guess what? We violate every one of them. We violate every one of them. But that relationship between Yahweh and his people, we have to maintain. We have to establish that trust and reestablish it because it was broken when Adam sinned, okay? When they sinned against Yahweh, that trust was broken because they took the word of Satan over the word of Yahweh. And think about that, brethren. Yahweh gives us in his word. He teaches us everything that we need to know. All we have to do is trust and believe in him, and we are over. We're there. It says, as newborn babes long for spiritual milk, which is without guile, that you may grow by it to salvation. And that's our goal. We want to be saved. We want to be there in the kingdom. If you have tasted that Yahweh is gracious, to whom is coming a living stone, rejected indeed of men, but with Yahweh elect, precious, you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah. When is this going to happen, brethren? When is it going to happen? After Yahshua returns. Because it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believes on him shall not be put to shame. For you therefore that believe is the preciousness. But for such as disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. For they stumble at the word, being disobedient, to which also they were appointed. But you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for Yahweh's own possession, that you may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we're supposed to be special, brethren. We're supposed to be showing this to the world. We're supposed to be an example to the people around us, who in times past were no people, but now are the people of Elohim, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I entreat you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your behavior seemly among the Gentiles, that in what they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify Yahweh in the day of visitation. And that's what we want. We want the people around us to glorify Yahweh. We want them to see us. And by the works that we're doing, give glory to the glory of Zion, Yahweh. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. It says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness and iniquity? Or what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has the Messiah with Belial? Or what portion has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of Yahweh with idols? And we are the temple of Yahweh, brethren, if we do these things. If we overcome this world. For we are the temple, a temple of the living Elohim. That's different from the false Elohim, the false mighty one. Even as Yahweh said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And the reason he can do that is because the Holy Spirit resides in us, which we received at baptism. See, that little down payment that we were promised, if we were faithful. Verse 17, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says Yahweh, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. Yes, there's a standard that we have to live up to. And I will be to you a father. Yahweh's going to be our father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, says Almighty Yahweh, or Yahweh Almighty. The sons and daughters share in the glory of Zion. Isaiah chapter 2. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of Yahweh's house, that's the government, shall be established on top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And many people shall go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob, or Israel. And he will teach us of his way, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem, and he will judge between many nations, between the nations, and will decide concerning many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. So we know that this is a time in the future, because nations are still warring today and still contemplating war today. I read that in the news here about the world news. Verse 5, it says, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Why should Jacob have to be told, let us walk in the light of Yahweh? I told you, Jacob is synonymous for Israel. That's another name. He's talking to the people of Israel. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with customs from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike hands with the children of foreigners, and their land is full of silver and gold. And this is talking about the United States of America, brother. See, when you look at this prophecy, they're filled with customs from the east. It's talking about the west, the land that is filled with silver and gold. Neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land also is full of horses. Neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. Materialism. This is a land of materialism. And the mean man is bowed down, and the great man is brought low. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from before the terror of Yahweh and from the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be brought low, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. Yahweh is going to be exalted. For there shall be a day of Yahweh of hosts upon all that is proud and haughty, and upon all that is lifted up. And it shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every lofty tower, and upon every fortified wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant imagery, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low, and Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols shall utterly pass away, and men shall go into the caves and the rocks, into the holes of the earth, from before the terror of Yahweh and from the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake mightily the earth. I read about several earthquakes today that are going on in the world. That's only going to increase until Yahshua returns. In that day shall men cast away their idols of silver and their idols of gold, which have been made for them to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the caverns of the rocks and into the clefts of the ragged rocks, from before the terror of Yahweh and from the glory of his majesty. See, this is about the glory of Yahweh, the glory of Zion, which is Yahweh. But I'm telling you, the people of this world, they're going to be throwing away these idols because they're not going to be doing them any good. They can't save them. Only Yahweh alone can save. Cease from the man whose breath is in his nostrils, for in what is he to be accounted of? Turn over to Micah. We have a parallel passage in Micah chapter 4. Micah 4, starting in verse 1, it says, "But in the latter days it shall come to pass that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established on the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. And many nations shall go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh and to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law." Is the law done away with, brethren? No. "And the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he will judge between many peoples, and will decide concerning strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. For all the peoples walk, every one in the name of his mighty one, and we will walk in the name of Yahweh, our Elohim, forever and ever." In that day, wherever you see that term, in that day is a time stamp. That's telling you a specific time to look forward to. It's the latter days, as it started off in Micah chapter 1. Verse 6 is still talking about that time. "In that day, says Yahweh, will I assemble that which is lame, and I will gather that which is driven away, and that which I have afflicted. And I will make that which was lame a remnant, and that was cast far off a strong nation. And Yahweh will reign over them in Mount Zion, from now on, even forever. And you, O tower of the flock, Migdal Eder, the hill of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. Yes, the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. And now, why do you cry out aloud? Is there no king in you? Has your counselor perished, that pangs have taken hold of you as a woman in travail? Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shall you go forth out of the city, and shall dwell in the field, and shall come even to Babylon, and there shall you be rescued. There will Yahweh redeem you from the hand of your enemy. And now many nations are assembled against you that say, let her be defiled, and let our eyes see our desire upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of Yahweh, because Zion is protected. Zion is the glory of Yahweh. The glory of Zion is Yahweh. Neither understand they his counsel, for he has gathered them as the sheaves to the threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron, and I will make your hoofs bronze, and you shall beat in pieces many peoples, and I will devote their gain to Yahweh and their substance to the sovereign of the whole earth. Turn to Isaiah chapter 60 for our closing passage. Isaiah chapter 60. The glory of Zion, brethren, is Yahweh. He is the father to the faithful. He is the father to those who are seeking his commandment. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Yahweh will arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. The glory of Yahweh will be seen upon his people. And nations, in verse 3, shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather themselves together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far, and your daughters shall be carried in the arms. Then shall you see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover you, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praises of Yahweh. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud, as the doves to the windows? Surely the owls shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring your sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, for the name of Yahweh Elohim and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. Yes, Yahweh has glorified his people. Verse 10, and the foreigners shall build up your walls, and their king shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor have I had mercy on you. Your gates also shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the nation, and their kings led captive. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Yes, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the fir tree, the pine, and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons of them that afflict you shall come bending to you, and all they that despise you shall bow themselves down at the soles of your feet, and they shall call you the city of Yahweh, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Brethren, Yahweh has called a people for his own possession. He's raised up a people to receive the blood of the Lamb, to be cleansed by that blood, to be able to overcome this world and be a part of the kingdom of Yahweh, which is soon going to be set up on this earth. In verse 15 it says, whereas you have been forsaken and hated, so that no man pass through you, I will make you an eternal excellency, a joy of my generation. That word eternal means forever. See? You shall also suck the milk of nations and shall suck the breast of kings, and you shall know that I, Yahweh, am your Savior, and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For bronze I will bring gold. For iron I will bring silver. And for stones, iron. For wood, bronze, and for stones, iron. I will also make your officers peace, and your exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in your land, desolation nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Nothing but peace is going to be going on in those days. The sun shall be no more your light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but Yahweh will be your everlasting light and your Elohim, your glory. Yahweh is going to be our glory, brethren. That's what the scriptures teach us. If we are faithful and overcome this world, your sun shall no more go down, neither shall your moon withdraw itself, for Yahweh will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. Your people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The little one shall become a thousand, and the small one a strong nation. I, Yahweh, will hasten it in its time. At this time, if you'd all stand with me, I'm going to offer a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we come before you, giving honor and glory to your holy name. We thank you, Father, for being the glory of Zion. And we ask, Father, that you would watch over your people, that you would bless us. We know that you're saving your people who are being faithful to you and keeping your feast of unleavened bread. Father, we know that we have a short time before Yahshua returns. And we ask, Father, that you would strengthen us, that you would lift us up on high, that we would be able to overcome all of the wiles of the devil. Help us to resist Satan that he might flee far from us. And, Father, we know that we're secure in your kingdom because you've given us of your Holy Spirit. And you've strengthened your people, Father, through your word. Prepare us, Father, for that kingdom which is soon to come upon this earth. Forgive us for our sinful nature and our shortcomings, Father, and help us to overcome this world through the blood of the Lamb, Yahshua the Messiah. Again, Father, we ask that you'd bless those that have a petition before you on the prayer list. And we ask that you'd watch over each and every one of us that is being faithful in keeping your covenant law and keeping your feast days and keeping all of your commandments. Again, Father, we thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and it's in his holy name that we come before you, thanking and praising your name and asking all these favors and blessings in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, for our closing song, we're going to sing number 30. Let your glory fall.
Let it go for some years to the nation.
Take your psalms and selective scriptures in hand. We're going to turn to page 143. We're going to read Hebrews 8:8-12 for our benediction. It says, "For finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, says Yahweh. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws into their mind, and on their hearts also will I write them. And I will be to them an Elohim, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his fellow citizen, and every man his brother, saying, Know Yahweh, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and their sins will I remember no more. Hallelujah."